Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
720 WGN, it is 320. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Magda Gabrielle is with us, an immediate care physician at Northwestern Medicine. Doctor, thanks for joining us. Were you working over the holidays?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me, Lisa. Happy New Year.
Thank you. And so I tested positive for COVID on Christmas, but my ex-husband and his wife had it. My brother, who I didn't engage with, had it. My nephew and his two young children had it. Mary on our show had it. It seems like it was just peaking. Was that because of all of us gathering around Thanksgiving or shopping or all the holiday parties?
I mean, of course, that would increase the chances of getting sick. That said, unfortunately, COVID's been high throughout the year. It's a pandemic for a reason. So we've had it all around. But I think right now, flu is probably the top picker and the top bidder currently, I believe.
Yeah. And so how do you tell the difference between flu and COVID other than a test?
There's really no significant difference in presentation. As we all know, like the viral illnesses in general all have the same prodrome. You start with a sore throat. You can get a fever. Some people may not get a fever. You could get a cough, runny nose, congestion. Body aches is common. Headaches is common. So it's often hard to distinguish between them without the test itself.
And there is a flu test if you go to a medical institution, correct?
Absolutely, there is. And we always encourage, if you notice a high fever and you're worried about flu, especially in the flu season, to get tested earlier rather than later, because we can help with medications for flu, but it does need to be within 48 hours of onset of symptoms.
According to an article, I think that was published yesterday or today, it said last week, 3.5% of emergency room visits were just because of the flu. At what point do you have to be hospitalized because of the flu?
I mean, any virus can cause difficulty breathing, but usually as soon as we start seeing difficulty with breathing and respiratory distress symptoms, that's the time when we say, yep, you should probably head over to the emergency room. If we need oxygen supply, if we need support medically, that's the time to go.
And flu is never gastrointestinal, right? It is always respiratory.
That's not necessarily true. There are symptoms of GI, like diarrhea and vomiting, that can happen, but we tend to see it more in children than we do see it in adults. But it can happen, but you do usually have to have the cold symptoms part, like the upper respiratory.
And who is it most dangerous for right now? If you were to contract the flu, who is most at risk for being hospitalized?
Obviously, children, usually younger than one, are at the highest risk, and older adults with multiple comorbidities, like other illnesses like diabetes, heart disease, or older than 65 years of age. Pregnant women are also at risk. Immunocompromised patients are also at risk.
When you have, I forget what it's called, I used it last week. You put it on your finger and it measures your blood oxygen. What am
yes.
I thinking of?
A pulse oximeter.
Yes. That. Yes. Is that something that is good to have on hand so that people who might be at risk can measure how their breathing is going?
Absolutely. That's always good to have it handy, especially with history of prior problems in the lungs. It's always good to have handy. Usually the parameters we worry about are less than 92 oxygen. We usually say you should probably seek attention if that's not your normal baseline.
Okay, so under 92 means you might definitely want to get to the doctor or a walk-in clinic.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd want to see you.
Yeah, okay. And what about when it drops just because you've done flights of stairs or you've exerted yourself? That's pretty normal, isn't it?
It's not actually normal to drop too low, and most of us can recalibrate, and if you catch your breath for a few seconds, you should get back up, but mostly it should not be holding for a lower number than your baseline for more than 30 seconds.
Okay. Dr. Gabrielle is an immediate care physician at Northwestern Medicine. Everything we're reading says that the flu numbers in the South are much greater than in the North. I would imagine you get daily reports. What are we looking at here as far as a peak? Will it be this week, or do you think we're weeks away?
I am saying it's going to be probably this week, especially after the holiday season and New Year's. We've already seen, according to the Chicago Respiratory Weekly Surveillance, like the week of the 29th, from the 23rd of December to the 29th was already a peak of influenza. It was our highest numbers compared to RSV came second, and then COVID came third. So we're definitely in the uptick for this.
And this new strain, or the strain that is going around now of COVID, is there any indication that that leads to long-haul COVID?
Unfortunately, the COVID, or I guess fortunately, the newer strains of COVID don't seem to have as much of an impact as the original Delta strain. But we are seeing, of course, everybody deals with the virus differently. So immunocompromised patients are still at risk for complications.
And was there a time where RSV predominantly just attacked small children, that they were the sufferers? Because now it seems like everybody is at risk of that as well.
So it's always been everybody. It's just, I think, was more of a stigma on the younger ones just because they're weaker. They've not had RSV before. So you tend to have a better immunity if you've had it before. So we've always highlighted it as a problem in infants younger than one just because they're still new to the virus. But it's obviously still like any other virus. Any older adult is also still at risk. So usually the extremes in age puts you at risk for complications in general for any virus. But RSV is a stronger pulmonary virus.
And does that tend to be chronic?
Not usually. I mean, some people suffer from scarring if they go into significant complications from viral illnesses. But it's not standard for viruses to cause chronic problems.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us and answering all our questions today, Doctor.
Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate you having me.
We always love having her. Dr. Gabrielle is an immediate care physician at Northwestern Medicine. Steve's News comes up next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.